Futures be damned. The Dow rose by 400 points at the open, and we'll share why. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 13th day of August. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Being rich is good. Just ask the Waltons. Got a Funko Pop? Well, if not, odds are that somebody you know has one. On the other side of the business spectrum is Boeing. Food trucks, you know, they're everywhere. So how much cash do you need before you get one rolling? We've got some numbers. So who's quitting their jobs? We know. And why? Those stories plus a look at the upcoming Central Iowa Business Conference. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Reach out to us on Twitter. You can do that at IOB_NewsHour. Just look for the Business News logo. Also, me, you can find me on Twitter as well, at Michael Libby. Well, while Asian markets were slowing, U.S. markets opened on the upswing today, with the Dow up by over 400 points and the NASDAQ up by over 2%. The reason? Well, Apple had an amazing report that drove its stock up by 5% at the open. Meanwhile, the United States indicated that several items would be taken off the tariff list against China for what they're saying is health and national security reasons. There's also a hint that these items would not be included until December. Toys, by the way, are in that list. Maybe it's national security. I have no idea. In other tariff news, U.S. and China negotiators are agreed to meet again in 2 weeks. Yesterday, the increasingly violent protests in Hong Kong and a crash in the Argentinian peso drove investors to perceived safe haven assets like U.S. bonds, gold, and the Japanese yen. Well, according to a story in MarketWatch, in the hour it takes for a starting Walmart employee to earn the $11 starting wage, the family that owns the retail giant banks $4 million. In fact, the third-generation heirs of Walmart founder Sam Walton have amassed a $191 billion fortune to top Bloomberg's list of the richest families in the world. And that number has grown by $39 billion since the Waltons topped the list just last year. The report breaks out that the Walton fortune increased by an eye-watering $70,000 a minute, $4 million per hour, or $100 million a day. Bloomberg says Walmart rang up $514 billion in sales from more than 11,000 stores across the globe, and the family holding company, that's Walton Enterprises, owns a 50% stake in Walmart, which paid out $3 billion in dividends last year. In fact, it's been a good year for all of the 25 wealthiest families in the world who collectively control almost $1.4 trillion in total wealth. That, by the way, is a 24% increase from last year. And American dynasties, well, they took the top three places on the elite list. The candy-making clan behind Mars is in second place to the Waltons with $127 billion in wealth. That was sweetened by $37 billion since last year. And the industrialist politicians behind Koch Industries take third with $125 billion. You see what you learn here? It's money, 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 kids, money. Well, one of these showed up at our house this year. In celebration of our 11-year-old's birthday, here it was. It was a statue of a softball catcher with her name on it. It was a pop vinyl. And now I'm going to give you a lesson and an amazing business story. Known as pop vinyls, or by their fans as Funko Pops, they're nearly everywhere. The company started in Washington State back in 2011, and they've been making these toys that have these vacant black eyes, a square head, and a disproportionately small body, and selling them, well, nearly everywhere. In total, there are now over 8,300 figurines. Funko Pops are now available from 25,000 retail brands worldwide, from Walmart to Amazon to Hot Topic, and even, somewhat strangely, Foot Locker. In 2018, the company's net sales increased 33% to over $686 million, with figurines accounting for 82% of all the sales. Now, after the company released its Q2 earnings report in this month, they declared that sales are up 38% compared to this time last year. And the company said, hey, we are so good, we are recession-proof. And here's something interesting, and this has got to do with marketing. Perhaps the greatest trick Funko ever pulled is releasing multiple iterations of the same character, whether in different costumes or poses, or painted with glitter or chrome. For example, on the Funko website, there are currently 29 distinct figurines of TV host Conan O'Brien. That's right. You can get the comedian dressed as Jon Snow, an Armenian folk dancer, or Pennywise the Clown, or even just painted entirely orange. Interestingly enough, Funko's average customer is 35 years old. So now we know what you're doing with that spare change. On the other end of the business spectrum is Boeing. Last month, the company had received zero new orders for its troubled 737 MAX as the worldwide grounding of its best-selling plane enters its sixth month. The dearth of MAX orders in July marked the fourth straight month without any new orders for the planes. The slowdown could give European manufacturer Airbus, which reported 389 commercial plane deliveries in the first 6 months of the year, the crown as the world's biggest airplane maker. Airbus's A320 planes compete with Boeing's 737 in the single-aisle segment, which comprise most aircraft orders. The Boeing 737 MAX planes have been grounded since mid-March following two fatal crashes that killed 346 people. You know, 10 years ago, a food truck was the stuff of big cities and sort of seedy locations. Well, today they're everywhere, and cities now hold events celebrating the now new iconic food truck. But what might it cost you to get one rolling? Well, some numbers are out today from our friends at MetaFeed. It seems that if you're thinking about starting a food truck business, get ready to drop anywhere from $60,000 to $250,000 before you sell your first onion burger, grilled chicken wrap, or empanada. Matt Geller is the president of the National Food Truck Association, and he says, don't even count on making a profit for at least a year. Now, depending on where you live, food truck startup costs can range from $130,000 to $250,000, he says, and we're talking about the truck, the paint job, all the equipment. Now, true, you can get into it for a bunch less if you're willing to put the work on rehabbing the truck yourself. We've talked to some folks who have successfully outfitted their food truck for way less than $60,000, but work on it, you must. Food trucks, who would have thought, right? You know, everybody, it seems, is complaining there are not enough workers for the jobs that are in demand. We hear it all the time. All these business interviews that we do with high-powered business people all across the country, everybody is talking about that. Well, for a record 16 straight months, the number of open jobs has been higher than the number of people looking for work. The U.S. economy had 7.4 million job openings in June, but only 6 million people were looking for work. And none of this is normal. Ever since the Labor Department began tracking job turnovers 2 decades ago, there's always been more people looking for work than jobs available. And all of that changed for the first time in January of 2018. So what jobs are we finding are the hardest to fill? Well, it ain't in technology or engineering or STEM. The jobs that are hard to find people for are home health care aides, restaurant workers, and hotel staff. Why the shift is happening? Because more and more Americans are going to college, taking professional jobs, while the working class baby boomers are retiring en masse. And this means that for once, low-skilled workers have the most leverage in the current labor market. One way to measure that leverage is to see how many workers are quitting their jobs. When more people are quitting than getting fired, it's a sign of a healthy labor market. And it means that people are finding better-paying jobs or feel confident that they will. And sure enough, a record number of workers are quitting their jobs. In April, 3.5 million workers quit their jobs. That's the highest number ever recorded in a single month. Meanwhile, layoffs and firings remain at record low levels. So, who are the workers that are quitting at the highest rates? You got it. restaurant and food catering workers, followed by those in the hotel and tourism industries. Both industries rely on a large number of low-paid workers. The fact that so many are quitting suggests that these workers are, well, they're fed up with the crappy jobs and the crappy wages. And the numbers are pretty clear. What comes next? If 7.4 million jobs are open and only 6 million people are looking for work, then employers need to find a lot more workers, right? I mean, duh. Well, then what are they going to do? Well, they need to encourage more Americans to join the workforce. Businesses need to do a couple of things, say the experts. One is raise wages and benefits, and second, embrace immigration and immigration reform, not by turning off the spigot, but increasing the number of people coming to America. However, current sentiment is to restrict immigration even more, which leaves businesses still hunting for workers. Hey, coming up next, we're going to focus on the Central Iowa Business Conference coming to the Des Moines, Iowa area in September. And on deck, we've got Lisa Fox and Todd McDonald. If you're a business owner or a manager in Central Iowa, you might want to listen to this and get a couple of tips on why you, too, should be part of the Central Iowa Business Conference. It's coming up next.